Out to the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? The one and only Reggie Jackson. Reggie, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, thank you. Let me see. Give me a little bit of background here.
Sure.
Let me see. Let me talk. Get my guy here. I got the. I want to see who I'm talking to.
Oh, you're talking to a Yankee expert from the 70s.
And an Oakland A's expert from the 2000s.
Yeah, Matt and Evan.
Matt or Evan, okay.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I'm Matt, but I was a big Yankee fan back in the day, huge Yankee fan in the 70s, so very familiar with you. But let's start with Sunday. The Reggie Jackson Softball Classic, where'd the idea come from, and why is it so important to you, Reggie?
It came to me from a guy that did an event for Jackie Robinson a couple of years ago, and I want to say in Dodger Stadium, and it's called One Last Time, a softball classic on the 27th, and he's a minority, and his name of his company is called Change the Game Sports. His name is Brian Amlani. Amlani. And so a few of my friends had talked to me about doing something for the city. I've been involved there with my foundation and the Board of Education of the City of Oakland for about the last 10 or 12 years of doing some funding with a STEM curriculum up on Skyline.
Sure.
And so we've been there for several years and have always had a good relationship with the city and this city council and the Board of Education, et cetera. And so my foundation's been in there for many years. And then, of course, from there, I can run right to the fact that I'm still in Oakland A. I still have a home in the area. Love the place. Very sad that the team is leaving. And anybody that I talk to, they're all sad. There's nobody, even people in Las Vegas are saying, gosh, we don't want to be thought of as the people that are stealing the team. This is the Vegas fans, because I'm a Raider fan, and I go over there and get recognized, and people talk about, you know, we don't want to be known as the people that stole Oakland's teams. So they're sensitive as well. And I just thought, and a few guys think that whether it's Barry Bonds or Ricky, Dennis Eck, Matt Barnes, Stu, La Russa, Coco Crisp, all those guys, Canseco, that are coming. It's just, you know, I'm excited about it. You get the people there for one more last time. And I'm sure that we'll speak to the crowd and to the people. Hopefully we can get somewhere between 500 and 7,500 people out there. We've got some tickets, or, you know, you get them on Ticketmaster, and there's different levels, et cetera, but we'll share the dollars with the local charity, or at least the school system that we work in and work with. But, you know, it's called One Last Time, One Last Game. Let's have a rerun and kind of enjoy and, I don't know, hold hands together in our spilt milk and our tears and be together one more time. And, you know, from Reggie's regiment to 2024.
So. Yeah, no, Reggie, it's a pleasure to be talking with you. And again, you know, people can go check out and get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. I did want to ask you, just, I had a chance to be at the last A's game. I know that you were there towards the end of the season. And I just, from being there as a kid growing up, you had so many experiences there. You know, what does it sort of mean to have the last ball game at the Coliseum, essentially, on Sunday to you?
I'm glad that we had a chance to do that, celebrate as a group. And as a group, I say fans and players, TV personnel as well, that have been there for so long, guys like John Shea and, you know, those guys that have been around there for a very long time and have Monty Poole and have an appreciation for, you know, the town and the city. It's painful for everybody. You know, Oakland is going to miss out on you know, sports becoming bigger and better and greater all the time. And so, you know, it's a sad day, but it's a day that we're going to, you know, share some happiness together and stuff like that.
The great Reggie Jackson joining us on 95.7 The Game. And, I mean, what a great time to have you on, Reggie. Obviously, the Dodgers and Yankees are getting ready to play the World Series starting tomorrow. So I'd love to turn back the clock a little bit. And we played a highlight of your third homer in the three-homer game in Game 6. But that whole year was absolutely unbelievable. You guys were down 14 games.
No. Be careful.
In 77.
Be careful. That's 78. We led all year.
Right. 77 was the three homers. The next year you were loaded again, and Billy got fired, and they brought in Bob Lemon, and
that's
you guys
right.
came back from 14 games back, and you played in 163 games. You played the Red Sox in that 5-4 game, obviously. Have you ever played in a game with that much pressure? Was that the most pressure-filled game? Because you knew you don't win that one. You don't even go to the playoffs.
Well, that's true. I think I played in a game 7 with the Mets. And I don't know if there's more pressure there. I guess there's probably more pressure in where if you lose, you go home and get nothing. And I think at that year, we each won 98 games, I think in 78. And, you know, you needed to play the 163rd game. And it was a special time and a special moment. I'll never forget it. I remember the first time up, I hit a ball that was over the left, that I thought was over the left field fence off Tourette's. And it was windy in October. It was different. That sun was up, and the wind, and it was cool. It was in the 50s, which was, you know, great football weather. And fall baseball is when it's cool and the wind blows, it lets you know that you're in postseason. I thought I'd hit a home run my first time up, and wind kept it in. And then the next time up, I hit a bullet to the right field of Dewey Evans.
Yeah,
and didn't get the ball up, and I was, you know, cussing and shaking my head and pounding on my leg there that that I didn't get that ball in the air. But you know, between Bucky Dent and a three-run homer he hit, and Ronnie Guidry. I remember Rick Guidry. We were looking for a pitcher on Sunday after the game. We had lost to Rick Wise in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost the game and wound up tying, because if we'd have won, we wouldn't have tied. And then Guidry was lockered near me, and he got up and walked in the manager's office and told Lemon, I'm pitching tomorrow. And he pitched on Friday.
He may have. Well, you had. Here's the other thing people don't remember. You had the game-winning RBI in that game.
Right.
You got one night, that day.
Yeah, they brought in Bob Stanley, who was one of the better relievers in the league at that time. Now, we have Gossage, but they brought in Bob Stanley, and then the guy named Quisenberry was with Kansas City, but Stanley was the premier right-hander. And he came in and threw up a long ball to me. I think at the time it might have been 5-4-3 or something. And I don't think there was a man on, but it made it 5-3.
Yes.
And that gave us the win. So I must have hit a 2-run home or something, but something like that. But anyway, I think we won 5-4.
Yeah, it was a solo homer, Reggie. But I think you were up 4-2, and then it made it 5-2, and then they got tight in the ninth inning.
Yeah, it was 5-4. I think we won.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, but yeah, I remember that day. Goose was on the mound. Guidry was on the mound. It was a wonderful day. And then Bucky hit the big home run, and he'll always be remembered as Bucky. freaking dense.
In Boston, yeah.
Well, Reggie, speaking of knowing when you get one or when you get a hold of it, I just have a lasting image of Juan Soto, who drove the Yankees through the postseason, especially the ALCS, the last home run against Cleveland in extra innings. He knew he got that home run. And one thing I always remember when I watch old clips of you hit is when you hit it, you knew. And I'm just wondering, because I don't know if there were many players either before or around that time that would, you know, express just how far they knew that ball was going to pimp a home run, so to speak. Where did that come from? Did you have players before you that did that, or was that something that was always just a part of your game? The father of the pimp job, Reg.
Well, here's what I would say. Is this, am I talking to Matt or Eric?
This is Evan.
Evan, I'm sorry. Evan, I had a style of hitting home runs, but I don't think that I pounded my chest or looked in the dugout or stared down the pitcher. I had a style of a walk and a few steps, but I ran the bases. If you'd look at any of my homers, I ran the bases and came around. When I got to home, I walked the last 2-3 steps. But I didn't look in the sky, and thank God I didn't pound my chest, and I didn't say look at me, because I expected to hit another one a few times later. So I admire the skill set of Soto. I would more want to pattern my home run style of Aaron Judge.
We are talking to Reggie Jackson, and the reason why is because he's holding the Reggie Jackson Softball Classic on Sunday at the Oakland Coliseum. Reggie going to be joined by Barry Bonds, Dave Stewart, Dennis Eckersley, Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco, Coco Crisp, many, many more. You can get tickets to the game at Ticketmaster.com, or you can also search Reggie Jackson's Instagram page and the link in his bio. So that's the way to get out to the Coliseum to see the final game there, the official final game, as we're calling it here. And we're thankful Reggie joined us to talk a little bit about the game. I want to ask you about the night of the Rickwood Field game, if you don't mind, because obviously I think you told a story that a lot of fans didn't know about. And I was just wondering, it was so powerful. And, you know, obviously you use words there that are very provocative. And I'm just wondering how the feedback is that you got from that game, because it was an incredibly important moment.
What I would say to you is, I'm glad it was riveting. I'm proud of what anyone that has said to me has always been uplifting and thanking me for pausing and making the points that I did. I told the truth, and I threw cold water on a so-called wonderful evening just to get people to look at really happened. And I've had so many people, more white than black. We have more white people in the country than black. So it was an even keel of percentages of people, but everyone that said anything to me was positive, and thank you. Several people said to me, I had no idea. And so with that, I was stunned that people thought that people were surprised that I went through that, not necessarily me, but just what the 60s was like.
Right.
I remember fire hoses and fire hydrants and dogs and horses, nightsticks and things like that, in the South that we watched on TV. I remember being afraid to go into the South being afraid of a person that had a Southern accent when I was 15 years old, 12 years old, being afraid to go to the University of Oklahoma and be the first black football player, or to go to Duke and be the first black football player, was a scary time for me as a child, as a kid. On up to 25, 6, 7, 8 years old, you're a young person. You're still a kid and you're still learning. And so I'm pleased with the way that day happened, the way the interview happened. I thought that interview was defined by Dan Patrick on his show. I heard what he said about it. And if you get a chance to ever listen to it again, listen to how he describes it, because he does a wonderful job of expressing himself, with what I said. And so I'm very thankful the way the public has received it. And I don't recognize your voices, but if it's Matt or Evan, I thank you for the question.
Well, anyway, we got a lot of love rolling in for you, Reggie. This is Evan. And whether it's from our text line, people before knowing that you were coming on today, not just about the comments and really all the vulnerable experiences that you shared at the Rickwood Field event, but also for all the legends that you're bringing together on Sunday at the Reggie Jackson Softball Classic. You know, whether it's Barry Bonds, Eck, Ricky, Canseco, many more. And of course, people can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. You know, I did want to ask you, have you ever had conversations as one of the greatest home run hitters to ever step between the lines? You know, you got Bonds coming out. Canseco obviously has a lot of power. Have you guys ever discussed or, I don't know, talked about who you think the greatest of all time is? And where does someone like Shohei Ohtani in regards to great hitters and historic hitters fit into that conversation in your mind?
Ohtani is certainly a great hitter, and so is Judge. I think the best hitter that I saw, it's hard to really say. It's hard to get past Bonds. This guy had 250 some walks one year. He could go 2-3 games not getting at bat and be in the lineup. So in comparing, Ohtani doesn't compare with Bonds. I don't know that he yet compares with Manny Ramirez, Mays, or Aaron. Those guys, and it's only because of the year after year after year after year. That these guys produced and set the world on fire. I think Bonds got, I don't know, maybe 100 intentional walks in a season. But I mean, that guy was, there wasn't any comparison. It's Ruth and Gehrig. Does Ohtani get there? He's got to show us, and he's on that path for sure. Aaron Judge has been in the league, 7-8 years? He's hit 53 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reggie Jackson joining us on 95.7 The Game. I appreciate we're kind of bouncing all over the place, but now that I have you on the phone, there's always, especially after the Rickwood Field game, obviously it became part of it. You've gone through a lot, and I've wondered, you played in Oakland, obviously, in the late 60s and early 70s, and it was where the Black Panther Party was founded. And I've always wondered if you or any of the black athletes at your time who played for the A's, did you have any relationship with Bobby Seale or Huey Newton and the Black Panthers who originated here in Oakland?
Well, you knew all those guys.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let me see. The guy that was Jobs, Mike, who started Apple.
Oh, yeah, Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, Steve Jobs, but with last name with a W.
Wozniak.
Steve Wozniak.
Yeah.
Yes, he was around. They would come to the games. Jerry Yang. I was on a motorcycle one day at the Harley store, and I had to go get something back at my shop, and Sonny Barger was there. He was the head of the Hells Angels. And I developed a friendship with him. And he said, "Do you need a ride?" I said, "Yes, I do. I need a ride to my shop. It's just about 2 or 3 miles away." And I got on the back of his motorcycle. And within a couple of miles, we were stopped by police. And they asked me if I was okay, because I was riding on the back with Sonny Barger. And you don't ride on the back of a Hell's Angel unless you're a woman. And so I had those experiences back in those days. But yeah, from Huey Newton to to Felix that got buried in a chariot with $1,000, $100 bills in there, and all the drugs and the things like that were there, the roughhousing and the gangsters, etc. I knew the guys. I'm not going to mention their names, but the athletes were treated special, and I enjoyed it. I was dear friends with Al Davis, and that's how I got to know Mark as well. So, I remember those times. They were rocky, difficult times with murders and shootings and things. But I still have a meal on the menu at Lois the Pie Queen at 60th and Avalon. It's the Reggie Jackson special, and I'm very proud of my Oakland roots.
Well, speaking of the city of Oakland, Reggie, it means so much to so many people in regards to their sports teams, which of course now is coming to a close with baseball, basketball, and football. And I just felt like there's nobody else better to ask this question to than you, who was a part both of Kansas City, came and saw the beginning of the Oakland Athletics. What is your lasting impression of baseball in Oakland when you hear that?
My lasting impression would be it's sad and it's a shame the way it ended here. All the great players and the good players along the way were pushed away. I mean, the third baseman over in San Francisco, the first baseman hit 50-some homers down with Atlanta. I might have had an off year this year, hit 40. Mm-hmm. And so those kinds of things are not good memories. And it's a two-way street. You can invest the money, but if the money's not coming in with sponsorship and it's not coming in through the turnstiles, you wind up getting rid of players and it looks like a sham. It doesn't look good. It's a black eye for the city. It's a black eye for sports. And the people don't deserve it.
Right.
But if you own the team and you're losing money, it's not everybody's fault, if you will. You can blame the ownership, but you know, I have some empathy for it. I'm disappointed. It's painful. I don't know what to really say to the people in Oakland. Just that I'm here for you and I feel you. I learned something from a guy named Jim Gray who heard it from Nelson Mandela. You know, I can, what I say you might forget, and what I do you might forget, but how I make you feel when I'm with you, those 3-4 seconds you won't forget.
Wow.
And so to me, if you feel I'm with you, I've accomplished something. If you feel I feel you, you know, and there's a slang, I feel you, bro. I feel you.
Right.
And those things are powerful. And so for me, it's a feeling of goodness when we have our celebration, our final game, our last time out, if you will, whatever it's going to be. You got to thank, you know, and a lot of the stuff I've done with charity stuff, you know, who's been a big supporter of mine is Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand.
Nice.
And Nike follows right along. So when people talk about Michael Jordan, for me, he's there for me, and I'm as much of a minority as you can possibly be. I'm very, very proud of that. And very proud that Oakland is a large population of minorities, and I feel you. So from Rawlings and Oakley and Evo Shield and Bumpbox and
hey.
Jordan and all the sponsors, it's like thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Reggie. And you were very generous with your time. 2 fried pork chops, 2 eggs, any style, choice of hash browns, grits, or rice, and it comes with homemade biscuits, English muffin, or wheat toast. That's the Reggie Jackson special at Lois the Pie Queen.
Like one of my buddies would say from Walnut Creek, oh boy.
Reggie, thank you so much. Have a great time Sunday. It's a great thing you're doing, and hopefully there'll be a ton of people out there. Make it a great day.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. Reggie Jackson.